Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to New Heights Education Show. My name is Kaden Behan, and here today we have two special guests, Mr. Jeffries from Hate's Not Cool LTD. Hello, Mr. Jeffries.
Hello, Kaden. How are you?
I'm good. So great to have you here on our show. In addition, we also have our co-host in training, Kathy Woodring. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kaden.
We're happy to have you on the show as well. What did you say?
It's nice to talk and to be here.
Yes, we're really excited to have both of our guests today on our show. But before we begin, as always, we do have some announcements and some information for how to contact us during our show. So if you're interested in calling in to speak with me or our guests, you can call our number at 347-633-9225. Again, that is 347-633-9225. To contact New Heights Educational Group directly, please call 419-786-0247 or email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com and visit our website, newheightseducation.org. The New Heights family would like to wish you and your family a Happy New Year. The New Heights Educational Group Resource and Literacy Center is offering its biweekly enrichment day and co-op classes, which will start again on January 17th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. These classes will be held in Defiance at the Zion Lutheran Church. Please note that the classes are not religion-based, and most families want there to be a class on this. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and to help with the planning of them. Enrichment Day classes are in the planning process, and so far we will be offering a culinary class, reading time class, science and Irish dancing, and karate classes, and we are open to more suggestions. Students are invited to not only attend these classes, but to participate in the instructing of them. If you are interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us directly. And now we'll go to Kathy with more announcements.
Thank you, Kaden. The New Heights Educational Group is partnering with Great American Opportunities. Great American Opportunities is an online fundraiser, and we will be starting this month. Anyone interested in fundraising for their child and or New Heights can contact us for your own online ID. All profits will be used as a fundraiser for each student to raise funds for their future and/or activities and for New Heights to earn money. This will be counted as a separate fundraiser from what we are now currently having. Pamela would like to recommend that you tune in to the following show, the Morton Podcast with Greg and Sandra Morton on Saturdays. Join them as they discuss good manners, sports, entertainment, headlines, and more. Tune in, call, or join the chat. A former child actor, Greg Morton, is an author, filmmaker, and outdoor enthusiast whose unique perspective has challenged him to push the boundaries of what it means to live a balanced life. Together with his wife, Sandra, they tackle new topics and headlines each week, sharing their love relationship and not always equal perspective in an effort to build a more positive and supportive world around us all. Join them mostly every Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and or midnight Eastern Standard Time and experience a new perspective. Now we'll go back to Kaden.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Now we're going to go into our topic for the day, which is ongoing again. just for a little recap from last week's episode, bullying is an important and expanding issue in America's education system. Last week, I discussed some background on the issue and some ways parents can get involved in preventing bullying. However, today we will welcome our special guest, Shane Jeffries, to share his personal experience with bullying and how it can be prevented. Mr. Jeffries is a founder of Hate's Not Cool LTD. He was a victim of a bully when he was 16, unfortunately suffering a traumatic brain injury. He spent months fighting to regain his life and is now traveling to schools to educate young people on the seriousness of the issue. So, Mr. Jeffries, thank you so much again for being with us on the show, and let us begin with your experience from this particular bully.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I was a sophomore in high school. This bully was also a sophomore in high school. We had a couple classes together. It was January, February-ish of 1994. This individual always liked to talk about how tough he was, fighting all the time, just punching people from behind, blindsiding them, and I just happened to be a casualty, so to speak, and he had punched me two times within a month before the third time nearly ended my life. It was the third time occurred the day before it occurred. This individual had accused me of taking money out of his gym locker, which to this day, I never took his money. And a lot of his friends, my friends, we had mutual friends, they came up to me the day of the accusation, accused me too, which I told them no, I didn't. The following day, it was seventh period, last class of the day. Him and the bully and I had physical education class together. I recollect walking down the gym floor as we were playing a team sport activity. He always wore a class ring. He come running up from behind me. I never saw him coming. Punched me from behind in the right temple. When he hit me, it didn't hurt. I didn't fall down. I just turned around and said, what did you hit me for? And he again accused me of taking his money. At that time, it's about 2:05. At 2:10, it was time to go in the locker room, change, and go home for the day. I remember walking in the locker room, sitting down and change. Started getting weak and dizzy. Started vomiting. The gym teacher never saw the incident occur. Other kids saw it occur. But we were teenagers, so I'd been punched before. Didn't really know the ramifications of the blow. While I was in there again, I started vomiting. The gym teacher came out of his office, said, Shane, do you have a touch of the flu? I had no idea. I shook my head. Yes, is my first reaction, my first instinct. He called my father. My father couldn't pick me up from school. The gym teacher and my dad held me out to our car. My dad said, in the car ride home, he spoke to me, but said I never spoke a word. And again, my mom and dad said they thought I had touched the flu, as the gym teacher called and told him that. And the last thing I faintly remember is my father and I pulling up in our driveway at home. Mom and dad said they helped me in the bed. They were going to let me sleep it off because they thought I had the flu. My mom told me she peeked in on me, couple times throughout the late afternoon to see if I was okay. Never noticed anything. Was just going to let me sleep. About 5:30, she tried to awaken me for dinner, but was unable to awake me. So she knew something was the matter. They called the EMS, took me out to a local hospital. Again, everybody thought I had the flu. They didn't know the severity of my injury. At our local hospital, they took a basic test, never found anything. I started having a seizure. So then they knew something was really the matter with me. So about 8 o'clock that evening, they life-flighted me to Parkview Hospital in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And when I got there, they took a CAT scan of my skull and found that I had a fractured skull and it pushed into an artery and turned rupturing it. And I had a blood clot. And then also I stroked out and I fell into a month-long coma. When I come out of a coma, I was the equivalent of a newborn child. I had to relearn how to walk, talk, eat, bodily functions, you name it, I had to relearn it. And I spent 7 months in the hospital, and finally in October of the injury, this injury occurred on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th of 1994. And after 7 months in the hospital, in October of 94, I was sent home. And as you know, one day I was a able-bodied teenager, and the next day I am the equivalent of a elderly person. So leaving school the way I did and then jumping back into school, there was a big difference, a lot of adapting I had to do. And as I slowly regained my total functions to get through each day, I slowly regain. And where I'm at now, I walk with a cane due to my balance issues. I drive, I walk, I talk, I have a loving wife, and we have a 5-year-old son. We own our own home. Again, I started a business approximately a year ago, and the name of my business, it's called Hate's Not Cool, and I had written a book, and it was published, and the name of my book is called End It Now. That detail on relates to bullying, how bullying needs to end, because kids don't think about the consequences of their actions, and there has to be consequences for the actions they do. And it's very unfortunate that March 17th will be 20 years to the day what this happened to me, and this individual has never ever shown any condolences or offered an apology. So bullying almost killed me, and just this school year I began going to schools and doing anti-bullying presentations, which I enjoy so much because I wanted to make a great impact on the kids and myself, turn a negative into a positive, and again help kids and hopefully make it to where none of them will ever have to experience what I did, because what happened to me can very easily happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. And so taking it back to your original experience, you said that this particular bully had bullied you a few times over the course of a month or so.
Yes.
So how did you initially react to the bullying?
Well, I tried to ignore it. I just swept it under the table. I just, you know, when you're a teenager, which I know I see teenagers nowadays, and when stuff like that happens to you, you kind of, you know, hold it in and don't tell anybody because you don't want to be labeled a tattletale. And I remember I kind of had that same mindset. I didn't want to tell on anybody. I didn't want to be called a tattletale. But as I'm older now, and when I do my presentations, I make a point to tell the kids that if they're being bullied, they should speak out, tell an adult, and keep telling until one of the adults listen and take initiative and help them out with bullying or being bullied by. And I want them to know that they're not a tattletale. They're actually a hero and a better person.
Mm-hmm. And so you didn't perhaps maybe feel comfortable at the time to tell your parents or your teachers, but as you said, this particular bully did bully other people as well. Were any of them your friends, and did you guys kind of talk about it amongst each other and try to look out for each other, or was it kind of every person for himself sort of situation?
It was kind of just every person for himself. You know, bullying back then has really transformed into so much more, especially with cyberbullying. When I was in school, there wasn't cell phones. You didn't use a computer every day, so there, back when I was a kid, there wasn't cyberbullying. So there's a lot has changed with technology and kids being more educated and so on. And just say, I make a point to tell them, too, if I would have spoke out the first or the second time I was bullied by this bully, the third time might have been prevented, and I wouldn't be in the circumstances that I'm in. So, but...
Mm-hmm. And now when you visit schools, giving your programs about bullying, do you notice the difference or a change in attitude about bullying among teachers and students than you did when you yourself were being bullied?
Yeah, it is a lot different. Schools and teachers are doing better, but, you know, they can't curb it all. There's always going to be bullies, and just they're doing the best. They're doing better. It's just a slow process, so to speak. They are doing better. Mm-hmm. You know, just the kids and parents and teachers, they just, it's like a puzzle, piece of the puzzle. They all need to work together to nip bullying in the bud, so to speak. Because a kid can't do it on his own, and the teacher can't do it on their own, and the parent can't do it on their own. It takes a team approach, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think is the biggest hurdle still in this process of trying to create a no-tolerance policy among bullying? So I guess what do you think is the biggest obstacle when it comes to trying to eliminate bullying, and why it still is such a prominent issue?
Just with the cyberbullying, it's just kids just don't think. It'd be nice if they would the Judge Milan from the People's Court has a great perspective on bullying and other things. She says as far as social media, she says, think it, forget it, or write it and regret it, which is very, very, very powerful perspective.
And so it's just the, I guess what you're saying is kind of the lack of accountability a lot now with online communication. You can, well, kids are doing things anonymously and therefore feel less accountable for their actions when it hurts somebody else. And so,
they just don't think. And, you know, you hear all the time where kids commit suicide. They call it bullicide, where kids think they can't take it no more and they end their lives from the bullying they've been put against, you know. It's very, very sad and tragic. And it's something that doesn't need to happen, you know. Totally unnecessary.
And so that brings us to more, to have the audience learn a little bit more about your organization, Hate's Not Cool. So I was wondering if you could kind of elaborate on your ideas for this organization and how you founded it and the mission of
your
organization.
Well, I first wrote my book, which again the name of it is called End It Now by Shane Jeffries. And if anybody listening would be interested in my book that might want to read it for themselves or have their son or daughter or grandchildren read it, it is available at Amazon.com. And again, my organization, the business I started, my mission statement is to educate today's youth on the dangers and consequences of bullying, because the individual that bullied me, he had no consequences. He was 16. The judge said it was a freak accident. The judge didn't have the whole story, so he pretty much gave this bully a slap on the wrist. And to this day, he still bullies, still fights, punches people out of the blue. He didn't learn anything from his mistake, and he didn't have any consequences. So if you have no consequences for your actions, why would you change? So there's got to be consequences for bullying, and the bullies need to be reprimanded in some way or fashion. They just can't be get a slap on the wrist, or they won't learn anything or want to change, and they'll keep doing what they're doing. So I want, I make a point with my business and my presentations to get the kids to speak out, and just that you don't have to take the bullying, you know. And bullying, but the bullies think they're tough and cool. The bullies are really cowards and criminals. So, but I just want to speak out to the kids and make them be aware that they don't have to put up with the bullying. Just speak out. And kids, students need to stick together. And when the kids see bullying, speak out against the bullying. Tell the teacher, an adult, just keep telling till somebody listens and assists you.
And do you feel that when you give your presentation at school that you're received well? Do the kids seem to really relate and appreciate the advice and the stories that you give them?
Yes, they do. Because I get a lot of reactions when I tell of how I almost died by the hands of a bully. They cannot believe how it occurred, but it's so scary because what happened to me can happen to anybody. People punch other people all the time, and you know, anything can happen nowadays. And just they are very amazed, and they, after I finish my presentations, I give a question and answer session, and the kids ask really good questions and ask about bullying and if I can give ideas, and I always try to help them because I want to, again, not see anybody have to go through what I was had to go through and what I still go through with my disability, because I walk with a cane and I have a lot of balance difficulties, and I fall 2 or 3 times a week, and I'm a big fella, so when I fall, there's times where I'm not able to get back up, and I have to usually have EMTs come and assist me back up. So I have a lot to deal with, but I've never given up, and I'm made sure to try to turn a negative into a positive and use my story to help other kids. I like to think that, you know, as I get older, God, things happen for a reason. And I believe truly that this happened for a reason, and this is my calling. God wants me to turn a negative into a positive and use my story to help kids, adults, teachers, and so on.
Well, your story and your persistence and perseverance in the situations that you've had to deal with over the course of your lifetime are definitely very inspiring. And we are running a little bit short on time for this show, but we definitely do appreciate having you here and sharing your story, and we look forward to having you again on next week's show to talk more about this issue and some new facets of bullying that have been brought about by the internet and cyberbullying and things along those lines. So thank you again for coming on our show. And I just want to share more information about Hate's Not Cool Ltd. To our audience. You can visit http://hatesnotcool.com and join us again next week for our show, Bullying Part 3, with Shane Jeffries as our guest again. Thank you so much, Mr. Jeffries, for being on our show again. We really do appreciate it, like we said. And we look forward to having you again on next week's show. And also thank you to Kathy. Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you for having me again. And nice to meet you, Kathy.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Jeffries. And thank you, Kaden.
I hope that you enjoyed your first show on air. And I look forward to being on the air again with you
next week.
Are you there? You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am on your shore.